You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
If you've ever taken a job that you felt unprepared for, you probably understand the experience of becoming a first lady. Well, there is actually a class to train you how to do that. The chiefs of staffs to more than a dozen African first ladies have gathered just outside D.C. to learn how to make the most of the soft power wielded by the wives of Africans' leading men. Some of the trainers include a top aide to Michelle Obama and Laura Bush's former chief of staff. And Kim Gaddis joins us now, State Department correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Kim, who is at this training?
It was a very interesting group of chiefs of staffs and advisors, and in some cases, people from embassies in Washington representing their capitals because people from the capital couldn't come. Had the chiefs of staff and advisors of eight African first ladies and wives of prime ministers from Zambia to Tanzania to Kenya and Angola, among others. Now, the conference builds on a summit for African first ladies that was held in Los Angeles last year. This is being organized by the independent U.S. think tank RAND. And now they've invited their aides to come to Washington for this week-long fellowship in Virginia. And it's because the first ladies from those countries expressed an interest in taking it further. So their aides are now learning how to organize and lead the staff in the first lady's office, how to seek funding for projects, how to work with NGOs, how to define priorities. They're even learning how to, you know, schedule appointments, how to write memos for the press. Some of it is quite basic.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that governing in an African state is very different from governing or being the wife of a governor in the West. Could it be seen as maybe condescending for a group of Westerners to teach African women how to do their jobs?
Well, it's a very good question, and we heard from Anita McBride, who was chief of staff for former First Lady Laura Bush. She gave a presentation that was, as I said, relatively basic, teaching some of the fellows how to make sure that they were coordinating with the president's office to make sure there were no clashes in the schedule, teaching them how to lead their staff, how to deal with people who weren't delivering in their jobs, for example. But it was, to some extent, a way of brainstorming, of looking at how different people did things, whether perhaps they had better ideas, whether perhaps they were facing some of the same problems. It was an opportunity for some of those fellows to brainstorm together as well, not only with the people who were giving them some of those classes. But I asked that question specifically to Cora Newman. She is one of the organizers, and this is what she said.
When we first started talking about running a capacity-building fellowship training for the First Ladies, everyone was really worried that we would offend the First Ladies by suggesting that they needed capacity-building or leadership training, and they jumped to it so quickly. And we even had a few First Ladies say, you know, am I going to be prepared? Should I be studying and preparing? And, I mean, they really embraced it.
Well, Kim, there was a meeting with First Ladies, but let's hear from a man here real quickly. You actually spoke to Jerry Ryan, who's one of the organizers of this training, about why these women play a big role in Africa's success. And here's what he said.
They're mothers of their country. I mean, they refer to them as Mama so-and-so. They're probably the only woman in the country that can pick up the phone and talk to anybody. They're also the only other person besides the prime minister or the president who can get on the television or get on the radio, and at least for the first couple of minutes, people will actually listen.
Kim, these women wield a great deal of influence?
Well, to some extent they do, and some extent they don't. As you heard from Jerry, they do have some influence. But we heard from one fellow, for example, who was talking about the conflicts they sometimes have with the president's office. When they ask for the president's schedule, the response they get is, why should we share anything with you? You only work for the wife. So there are, in some countries, still challenges that these women face in showing that they do have some sort of authority. There are other differences as well. For example, one fellow talked about the difference in resources. He's being taught all these things here in the U.S., but when he goes back to his country, and it was Zambia, he's going to face problems in trying to implement some of what he's learned because they simply don't have the same kind of resources.
And to that end, here's another comment that you got from Sonia Reylenia, who works in the Angolan embassy in Washington, and here is her takeaway from the event.
instead of being the first lady requesting things, work with partners and then have them do things that the first lady is not supposed to do, or it's not politically correct her to do, but she's behind the scenes, let's say that.
That sounds like a solution to what you were just talking about.
Yes, it is about allowing these women to do their jobs properly, to do their jobs better, to build on a position that could be a position of authority, that could make a real difference in a continent that needs more change when it comes to issues like infant mortality or education. But keep in mind, this was also a self-selecting process. The countries that are attending this fellowship had expressed an interest in taking things further after last year's summit. But there were countries that were not there, for example, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Nigeria, Sudan. And it does raise questions about corruption and the perception that this course could be empowering wives of leaders with a questionable record. So I also asked the organizers whether they would welcome the First Lady of Zimbabwe, for example, the wife of President Robert Mugabe. And they said, because they're holding a seminar next year, and I asked, you know, would you welcome the aides of the First Lady of Zimbabwe next year, for example? And they said that while they hope that the next seminar will be bigger, they're still thinking about who will participate, and they're discussing that with their partners, because, of course, they have partners in the U.S. government as well.
Well, Kim, is there also an event at some point that's training women to become the leaders of their countries in Africa?
Not yet per se, but remember, of course, Africa did have a woman president, the president of Sierra Leone, Ellen Sirleaf Johnson. There is a growing understanding that women should be more in positions that allow to bring about change, to build capacity in these countries. What they did mention is the possibility that they would hold such an event for the aides of the presidents, because it would help the president's office and the first lady's office to coordinate better and allow, therefore, the first ladies to really build on the possibilities and their potential in bringing about change for their countries.
Kim Gaddis is a State Department correspondent for our partner, the BBC, talking about a training just outside D.C. for the chiefs of staff to more than a dozen first ladies of Africa.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.